Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor, 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Football Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, the iHeartRadio app, and also streaming live on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN is the number to jump on in. That's 888-710-4476. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. Or you can get at me on TikTok at The Zach Gelb Show. Bills sideline reporter Sal Capaccio going to join us coming up 20 minutes from now. Ralph Russo does a great job. Senior college football writer for The Athletic will join us at 4 p.m. Eastern time. And then Carlos with the K. That's right. Carlos Ortiz is going to join us for NFL picks at 5:20. P.M. Eastern time. Let's start with the surprising development that did kick off week 12 of the NFL season. And that was the Buffalo Bills going to H-Town, going to play the Houston Texans. And they got served up a can of whoop ass. And that's right. Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson Jr. They just dominated that offensive line of the Buffalo Bills. And the Buffalo Bills fell to the Houston Texans last night by a score of 23-19. At the end of the game, the Bills are driving. You had a Deion Dawkins false start, and then eventually you did see a Josh Allen interception. But that was another close, sloppy, ugly Thursday night football game where, let's just be real, I didn't think it was that good of a product. But with that being said, I look at the Houston Texans going up against the Buffalo Bills and the aftermath of that one. The Texans now have some life. The Texans are now sitting there at 6-5. And I know the Texans aren't the lead story. I'll get more into that. But when C.J. Stroud does come back, it's going to be a lot of pressure on C.J. Stroud because Davis Mills obviously did more than weather the storm. But now C.J. Stroud, who through his first 2 years as an NFL quarterback, the first year was sensational. The second year there was regression. To start off year number three, it wasn't the prettiest thing in the world. Now when he comes back and assuming that he's able to take back over the reins, coming up Thanksgiving weekend when that team is in Indianapolis, you got to go find a way to be the C.J. Stroud that we saw in year number one. There's no doubt about it that this football team started off the season digging themselves in a massive hole. They have been able to climb out of that hole, and it really turned around with that unexpected victory up against the Niners. I know they lost that one game to the Broncos, but since then they beat the Jaguars, the Titans, and the Bills. It hasn't been the prettiest thing, but when your quarterback's been hurt, and your quarterback was dealing with that concussion, and you're able to pull out all those victories, it now saves your season. So there's an enormous amount of pressure on C.J. Stroud the rest of the way. And let's be real about this. It's not like the Texans have murderer's row in their schedule. Like, yeah, their next 2 weeks are tough. They are in Indianapolis. They're in Kansas City. You split, though, one of those games. Like both those games. You split those games. You're sitting there with the 7-6 record. Even if you lose both those games, you're sitting there at 6-7. Didn't even mean to do that one. But then to wrap up the season, you play the Cardinals, the Raiders, the Chargers, and the Colts. So I understand it's not the easiest schedule in the world, but it's not also like you look at the schedule and you say, hey, the Texans can't beat any of those teams. And in this league, you know, some principles change, some philosophies change, but something that never changes is you will be in every game and you'll have an opportunity to win these games as long as you could just beat the living snot out of the quarterback. And that's what the Houston Texans did last night, where they were all up in the grill of Josh Allen and they made him very uncomfortable. So I'm not sitting here and I don't have any bold proclamations when it comes to the Houston Texans. But the Texans are now alive. The Texans right now, they are just on the outside looking in. And the Texans, you know, if they could beat the Colts, they are going to be knocking on that door to potentially come on back and win the AFC South, or at bare minimum, be a wild card team. So the AFC South is better than what we thought heading into this season. Not the way that we thought it was going to be there. You would have thought the Texans would be in the lead spot. But Indianapolis has been the best team in the AFC South. The Jaguars have been impressive. And then the Texans, who were dead, there's now a chance. So you're telling me there's a chance. I'm not going to sit here and tell you they're definitely going to the playoffs. It's probably still unlikely that they make the playoffs. But to be able to be there through 12 weeks at 6-5 with how disastrous of a start that this was for the Houston Texans, salute to them. Now, let's get to the other side of this. The Buffalo Bills. I am concerned about the Buffalo Bills, and quite frankly, I don't give a rat's ass what the Buffalo Bills do the rest of the regular season. The Buffalo Bills are going to be moved into that category and that territory of wake me up when you make the playoffs. And can I sit here and tell you I expect the Buffalo Bills to go to the Super Bowl right now? No, I can't. And it's kind of crazy because you look like if you're shaping up a year for this to be the Bills' year, and I would have told you, okay, in the AFC North, the Ravens and the Steelers are slugging it out. Probably only one team makes it. In the AFC South, you have the Colts coming out of nowhere. There's a chance the Texans aren't even going to be in the playoffs. The West, the Broncos are probably going to win the AFC West. The Chiefs may not make the playoffs. Like, if I just gave you that script before the start of the season, that the AFC North would be down, the Bengals probably not going to make the playoffs. You know, they won't make the playoffs. The Steelers and Ravens really aren't scaring anybody. The South is even going to be probably won by the Texans. And then if I would have told you that there's a legitimate chance that the Chiefs are going to miss the playoffs and the Chiefs won't win the AFC West, if you were the Buffalo Bills and you were a fan of the Buffalo Bills, you'd probably look at me and say, Zach, is it too early to book a reservation in Santa Clara for the Super Bowl? But here's the part about that. Here's the crazy part. Like, the Bills are going to make... I'm not concerned that the Bills will miss the playoffs. If the Patriots beat the Bengals this weekend, and I don't know if Joe Burrow is going to play or not. The last 2 days, it seemed like it was going to be that case. Today, you wake up, and it seems like it's not going to be that case. It's, you know, Ian Rapoport had the report out this morning. The pendulum seems to be swinging back to Joe Flacco for this upcoming Sunday. So, like, let's just say the Patriots beat the Bengals, which is not a lock. But let's just say they do. The Patriots would be sitting there at 10-2, and the Bills would be sitting there at 7-4. I know the Bills still play the Patriots one more time, and the Patriots already beat them. If we get to that rate where you look at the Patriots' schedule where they're 10-2, and the remaining games are up against the Giants, the Bills, the Ravens, the Jets, and the Dolphins, I could really only see the Patriots losing two games on that schedule the rest of the way. That's if the Patriots get through this weekend. That would be the Bills, and that would be the Ravens. But this Buffalo team... talk about not being ready for the moment. Talk about being disappointing. That's what the Bills are. And I'll tell you know when I first started to sense that maybe this year's not going to be where the Bills are going to think it's going to go? It's when I was in that locker room. And now I look back on that moment, and I thought, okay, it's an outsider. I was there for the game up against the Falcons when they lose. You never expect a locker room to be happy when they lose, obviously. But there was a great sense of frustration emanating from the quarterback in Josh Allen when I was in that locker room. And when I heard him also speak at the podium after that Falcons game. And what you saw in that Falcons game was eerily similar to what you saw up against the Houston Texans. where the Falcons got all up in the grill of Josh Allen. The Texans all got up in that grill of Josh Allen. And Josh Allen, if he's not playing a perfect game, it's almost like the Bills can't find a way to win. You know, and even if there are some imperfections, he's going to have to go have like six total touchdowns like what we saw last week. So you're looking at this team, they're sitting there at 7-4. We're sure they start out the season 4-0. They had the miraculous comeback up against Baltimore. Then they play Cupcake U's in the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Saints. Then they shockingly lose to the Patriots. Then followed up with a loss to the Falcons. All right, then they get a bye week. They smother the Carolina Panthers. Then they beat the Chiefs, which they always do in the regular season. But then what do? They got dominated by a bad Miami Dolphins team. All right, then they beat a decimated Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. And then you're going up against the Texans with Davis Mills. Davis Mills is the quarterback, and you can't beat them because Will Anderson embarrassed you all night. Danielle Hunter embarrassed you all night. That's what happened. And I look at this Buffalo Bills team, and I know it sounds I'm being critical of Josh Allen. I'm not. Josh Allen is not set up to take this team to a Super Bowl this year. Now, it doesn't mean he can't. He is individually good where he could go out there and win any game against any team. That's how great of a player Josh Allen is. But with that being said, when your line plays the way that the offensive line did last night, and how it did a few weeks ago up against the Atlanta Falcons, and how it did up against the Miami Dolphins, and your quarterback isn't on 100, that's where you get screwed. And don't get me wrong, they have another nice complimentary piece from a skill position player. Josh Allen and James Cook, those are two really damn good pieces. But outside of that, what do the Bills have? What do they got? You know, Dalton Kincaid has been disappointing. He's also been an injury problem. You look at Keon Coleman, he's now not dressed for two straight games. That was a guy they picked with a 33rd selection 2 years ago. He's been a bust. Outside of his introductory press conference, he's been a flop. And don't get me wrong, it's funny how this works from year to year, right? You sometimes see narratives that are formed. Like last year, the Buffalo Bills got rid of Stephon Diggs. The Buffalo Bills were the winner of the Stephon Diggs situation. And Josh Allen thrived and survived without Stephon Diggs. A year later, is there like a better teammate in the NFL right now than Stephon Diggs with my New England Patriots? And you get the Patriots sitting there at 9-2. The Patriots could almost taste a cap and a t-shirt that says AFC East Champions. And Josh Allen just doesn't have enough pieces around him. He just doesn't. And we sat here and we said this when the Bills got rid of Stephon Diggs. Like, yes, you could patch it together for a year. But eventually you got to go out and get another playmaker. And could they have gotten DK Metcalf? They could have. They didn't. Could they have gotten a George Pickens? They could have. They didn't. Like, we have thrown out names for the Buffalo Bills to be aggressive on for the last few years, you know, in multiple different areas of this team. And they're just simply not that aggressive. So do you just rest on your franchise quarterback and you just say, okay, Josh, go do everything? Or do you try to help him, you know, help him and make it easier? Like, what path do you take? Because you should be doing everything to help out your young quarterback, who is one of, if not the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But this formula of saying, Josh, here's the cape. Go fly. And then he gets hit and there's some rips in the cape and you don't fix the cape. Well, guess what? Superman isn't going to fly that far. And right now, I don't care what the Bills do the rest of the season. Right? They play the Steelers, the Bengals, the Patriots, the Browns, the Eagles, and the Jets. We know the Bills could be a good regular season team. We've seen them be a good regular season team the last few years. But they're leaking right now. And how can they patch this up right now and get you into the postseason where you may not have Lamar Jackson in it? You may not have Patrick Mahomes in it. You have a lot of young teams in there with a lot of quarterbacks that are having good years, but we don't know what they're going to look like in the postseason. And how can you find a way to put your stud in the best position to succeed? From a roster standpoint, it's not going to get that much better. Trade deadline has already passed us. You can't go be aggressive. Like, could you go pick someone up off the street? Sure. And maybe that'd be a nice little one or two game story. But this is coming down to coaching and the quarterback. That's what it's coming down to. And Joe Brady, got to go show me why he could be head coach. Sean McDermott, I know the Pegula family doesn't want to get rid of you, but you got to go show me that the program that you built has the ability to go take that next step. But what I saw last night from the Buffalo Bills, the way you beat them, just go hit the quarterback. Go make him uncomfortable, because even though he likes to absorb a lot of contact and even though he's one of the best players in the NFL, every quarterback doesn't like to get hit. Every single one of them. And the Bills don't have multiple ways to beat you. On offense, the only two things you look at that you really have to game plan for is 17 and then also the running back in James Cook, you know, number four. Outside of that, nothing else really scares you. So this is a wide open year in the AFC, and we're sitting here, you know, in week 12, and you have legitimate questions with the Ravens, legitimate questions with the Chiefs, legitimate questions with the Buffalo Bills. And those have been the three teams, and you can factor in the Bengals too, but the Bengals aren't going to make the playoffs. Those are the 3 to 4 teams in the AFC for the last half decade plus, let's say, 5 to 7 years, that have really told the story of the AFC. It seems like there is a opening and there's a huge window that is open for someone else to go grab the AFC this year. Good thing is for these teams, if you want to give me one optimistic thing, it's not the end of the season yet. We're getting there. We're closing on Thanksgiving. And we talked about teams being vulnerable before, and then they go on to win the Super Bowl, or they go on to get the Super Bowl. But right now, I don't like what I'm seeing for Kansas City, and I don't like what I'm seeing from the Buffalo Bills. And who would have thought we'd be able to say that 11 to 12 weeks into a season before the season did start? Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Bill sideline reporter Sal Capaccio will join us next. All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. This past summer, I was in Chicago. I was going to a Cubs game, and sitting right next to me was the great Sal Capaccio as the Bills were in town to have a preseason game up against the Chicago Bears. I was going to the UFC fights later on that night, and we had a good time at Wrigley Field. Sal is obviously the Bills sideline reporter, and he's kind enough to join us once again right now on the show. Sal, always appreciate the time. How you been, my man?
Pretty good, pretty good. That was my son's first time at Wrigley, my second. And then this weekend, I'm taking him to his first ever NBA game up in Toronto.
How about that? Nice. Going to a little Raptors game?
Yeah. Nets against Raptors. The Bills are off, obviously. They just played last night. So taking a trip up. It's only an hour and a half from Buffalo. I mean, with the traffic in Toronto, it becomes a little longer, but yeah.
Alrighty, so I was in person for the Bills-Falcons game, a few weeks ago. Last night reminded me a lot like that Bills-Falcons game where the defense was just all up in the face of Josh Allen. Just what did you make of that performance last night by the Texans defense?
It was incredible. Obviously, the Bills, you know, couldn't handle them, and that's on the Bills, but that's the number one defense in the league. They give up less than 17 points a game, and honestly, the Bills' offense didn't even score that much because it was 19, but 7 came on a kickoff return, obviously. So, 8 sacks, you can't give up 8 sacks. 70 yards lost in those sacks. A lot of that's on Josh Allen. We know he tries to do too much sometimes in those situations, but he also has great plays when that happens, so you live with it, right? But they just were really getting after it, and they beat the Bills up physically up front, and that's not something we've seen a lot of over the last few years with the Bills' offensive line.
How do the Bills fix this offense? I know it's a weird question to ask when they just had 6 touchdowns last week up against Tampa Bay, but right now the only constants for me are Josh Allen and James Cook that I could really rely on.
Yeah, I don't know if there is a fix. There's no trade deadline. I mean, the trade deadline's passed, right? I mean, they went out and reportedly tried to add Jalen Waddle, which tells you what the GM even thinks about what the receiving core is right now, because they don't have answers at wide receiver. They don't have separators on the outside. Keon Coleman not even playing the last two games is a healthy scratch, but he hasn't even helped on the field when he has been playing. They got great contribution from Tyrell Shavers on Sunday, but nothing from him last night. Gabe Davis helped out on Sunday, not as much last night. Khalil Shakir obviously had yards after catch. That's how they're built. Get the ball out to guys quickly, run yards after catch. They can't throw the ball downfield. I will say, not having Dalton Kincaid in that Atlanta game and in the Texans game has hurt them. Dalton Kincaid's a big part of their offense. He really helps them out in the middle of the field, and they don't have much, you know, when he's not playing, it really hurts.
So what's going on with Keon Coleman? I thought this is going to be a one-week thing, and then he's now out for the last two games. I know what we heard last week, but it just didn't get better this week?
It's so tough. If they would have played Sunday this week, I think Keon probably would have played, to be quite honest with you. I mean, it's such a quick turnaround. He was benched because he was his third disciplinary action. Last year, he had missed a meeting or been late to a meeting. He was benched for a quarter in a game. This year, it happened earlier in the year against the Patriots, Sunday Night Football. He missed the first series of the game. And then this happened again last week on a Friday, so they sat him down. And then you have a quick turnaround. And as you know, Zach, you can't just put in a whole new game plan on a 4 days against a non-division opponent you're not familiar with. So I can think they had such a nice outing offensively. It's a quick turnaround. It was more of the kind of circumstance that I don't think anything else happened with Keon Coleman.
Sal Capaccio here with us. When you get to this team inside the locker room and you're there every day, right? You're in the locker room after the games. You know, I walk in as an outsider after the Falcons game and I just walked away and I get it. It's a losing locker room. And I said to myself, Josh seemed really frustrated. Just like, how do you kind of evaluate where the locker room is at right now when they've gone through some tough times here the last few weeks?
Yeah, I have no concern about the locker room. I mean, this is a team, an organization. They've all kind of been together, most of them for, 6, 7, 8 years now, a lot of them. They've been through the ups and downs together. Sure, there's going to be frustration. They're competitors, right? They should have been to a Super Bowl by now, and they haven't. Josh Allen's a league MVP, and, things aren't going well. So I would expect them to be frustrated. I'd expect them to, have a pretty somber attitude about him. But they've been through this before. I mean, I just went through it 2 years ago. They were 5-5 after 10 games, I think, 6-6 after 12. They caught the Dolphins and won the East after on the final Sunday night game. A couple years before that, remember the wind game with the Patriots come to town? The Bills actually in December were trailing the Patriots in the standings and then wound up catching them. The difference is this year, I just don't think they have quite the roster to make the mistakes they've been making. In years past, you make mistakes, they overcome them because they have Josh and he's Superman. They have wide receivers who can, really just have a big night or whatever. They don't have that. Their margin for error is a lot slimmer and thinner right now. And Zach, I mean, they're turning the ball over now like they haven't the last few years. They won an NFL record of like 26 straight games, I think it was, of winning or not losing the turnover battle, which is incredible. And now they've lost the turnover battle a lot this year, and especially on the road.
Yeah, and the season clearly isn't over, but you start to think about next season when you see some performances like this. And it's a weird conversation to have because Josh Allen is one of the best players, period, in the NFL. He's one of the best, if not the best, playmakers in the NFL. So you want the ball in his hands so many times, but it just seems like they're asking him to do way too much this year.
See, I don't know. I don't totally agree with that. I think that's been the narrative over the last several years. They're actually asking him to do less this year, and fans want him to do more because they've been running the ball so well. James Cook has been the guy that teams want to shut down this year because he's the guy that they've been asking. But what happens is, when the run game isn't going, that's when you have to ask Josh to make up for what you don't have at wide receiver. And that's when he has to do too much. But I actually think that over the course of the season, they put a lot less on Josh because they want to run the ball so much and they've been great at it. But again, that brings into less margin for error when things don't go well on first and second down.
Sal Capaccio here with us for a few more moments. It just shows you, I know it's a week-to-week league, but you go back to last year, it was okay. Stephon Diggs no longer there. They were able to survive and thrive without Stephon Diggs. And now people are sitting there saying, hey, they need a number one wide receiver. They need another playmaker on the offensive side of the ball. I thought it was time to move off of Stephon Diggs. I'm not saying, hey, they should still have him on this team. You talked about Jaylen Waddle at the deadline. You got to anticipate this offseason. They're going to go be aggressive to try to go get a number one, right?
We thought that last offseason too, and they signed Josh Palmer, and then you remember the radio interview that blew up basically, from Brandon Bean with a couple of our hosts, Jeremy and Joe, and it was right after the draft, and they were questioning and, if the resources were poured into wide receiver as other teams and other positions, and Brandon Bean said, reminded everybody they scored 30 points a game, and they had just gone out and got Josh Palmer, and they had Keon Coleman, and Dalton Kincaid, was going to step up as a pass catcher. Then that day they signed Elijah Moore, by the way, so I think they felt that they were good enough. I think the Bills' philosophy at wide receiver has been, look, we can go with a bunch of pass catchers who are good and all have different roles because we have Josh Allen, and he's going to make them all better. But I do think, Zach, to your point, and I agree with you, they miss a guy like Stephon Diggs. I'm not saying they miss Stephon Diggs. I think that relationship weared itself to the point where both sides had to part ways, but they need a guy like that. There's no go-to guy right now in this roster when it's 3rd and 6 and you need a play. Like, I watched the Texans, and I know that he didn't have a great night last night, credit the Bills' defense, but I mean, Nico Collins is like, okay, when you need a play, you throw it to him, right? Everybody has a guy on the roster, and Stephon Diggs has become that guy for Drake May, of course. They need a guy like that. I do think they'll go out. The problem is the Bills are very, very cash strapped when it comes to the salary cap. They're right up against it. They're paying a lot of guys a lot of money because they're paying their quarterback the most guaranteed money in NFL history. They're paying their left tackle, their right tackle, their middle linebacker, their corner, all the positions you should pay. So how do you do it? If you draft somebody picking in the 20s or 30s, is that guy going to step right in and be a true number one wide receiver? I just think it's a tough needle to thread.
The Diggs stuff is interesting to me because I know that a lot of the guys in the locker room love him, but he had an ugly end in Minnesota. I thought he was a pain in the ass at the end in Buffalo. He goes to Houston last year, and all their radio guys are raving about him in the offseason. And then seeing him this year, he's been like such a team-first guy. What do you think the perception is, the fair perception is of a Stephon Diggs?
It'll end ugly in New England too, by the way, because that's just what happens with Stephon Diggs. It's great now, and it was great in Buffalo for three years. I mean, it's just the way it is. It was great in Minnesota for 3 years. I mean, that's how it is, and that's great. And Stephon Diggs is an ultra, ultra, ultra competitor, and he wants everybody to be the highly, highly competitive guy just like him. And if the Patriots don't win a Super Bowl, maybe that's when it starts a little bit, because that's kind of what happened in Buffalo. And I'm not here to bash Stephon Diggs for it. I'm just telling you that that's just his personality. It will end ugly in New England just like it did everywhere else.
Wrap it up with Sal Capaccio. So it's kind of fascinating to me, because if I would have told a Bills fan before the season that there's a legitimate chance the Chiefs nor the Ravens make the playoffs, I think they would sign up and start booking their hotels in Santa Clara. How about this opportunity they still have in front of them, because they get a lot into the postseason, even with all these struggles, and not see Lamar Jackson? I know they beat twice in the playoffs, and then the ultimate kryptonite, Kansas City, could be on the outside looking in.
Well, not only that, but it's funny to say it this way. I mean, you want to win the division, you want to get the one seed, and this is the year you should have done it, right, for the Bills. But there's an argument to be made that it might be a better path to be a wild card this year, because if you are a division winner, you might face the Ravens, you might face the Chiefs, or you might face Cincinnati with Joe Burrow. If you're a wild card, you go to L.A., Chargers, maybe, if they win it, or Denver, of course, they're probably going to win their division. You go to New England, where, you know, having a great year, no doubt about it, but I think, you know, you can play with them. Maybe you go to Pittsburgh, something like that. Indy, I just think it's kind of funny the way it's washing out here, and I don't think that that's a preferred path for the Bills or any team. You don't want to be on the road every game in the wild card, but you got to get there first, and if you do get there and you have number 17 and you play those teams, I give them just as good a shot as anybody.
You know, when we do hot seat conversation just throughout the last few years, people will call up and they'll say, hey, Sean McDermott should be on the hot seat. I don't have any belief that the Pegula family is anywhere close to moving off of Sean McDermott. But if they don't get to an AFC championship game this year or Super Bowl this year, can you see that belief change maybe when you evaluate the general manager and the head coach?
I've never believed either that Terry Pegula would have an appetite to do that. You know, the Bills have what most NFL teams and fan bases dream of, which is an owner, a GM, and a head coach that are aligned and successful and run a program. The Bills just don't have a team. They run a program. You know, they have guys, they develop guys, they're good player development. You know, you could definitely argue on draft misses by Brandon Bean, like you can for any team in this league. You can definitely argue that Sean McDermott hasn't done the best job here or there. He's defensive coach and their defense gives up a lot against the run. Of course, there's a lot of things you could nitpick. But the fact is that Josh Allen's the league MVP. He's turning 30 next year. They haven't gotten ultimately over the hump, and there's a lot of questions right now. So would I ever take it off the table? No, because I think that's just what happens in sports. But I do believe that because of the success that they've had and the way that this organization has been so consistent, that Terry Pegula at this point wouldn't have an appetite to do that. Let's see how it ends, though. If they bow out in the first round, if they happen to not make the playoffs, I do think you have to start having the conversations of if the right people are in charge. But I just can't see that happening at this point.
Last thing I'll ask you, Sal Capaccio. Do you anticipate that Joe Brady is a head coach next year in the NFL?
No. I think this year with Josh Allen, the number of sacks he's taking now, the offense having a lot of issues and questions, that's probably, you know, he's lost some of his shine probably, right, in some places. But he is a young, bright guy. He was at LSU when they were setting all those records, obviously, with those great teams they had. You know, I mean, there's rumblings about Penn State being interested in Joe Brady or another college team being interested in Joe Brady. Maybe he's back in Buffalo. I don't know if he'll be the Bills' offensive coordinator. But at this point, considering where the offense is, unless there's a run that goes on here and all of a sudden the team starts to really get moving and on the offensive side, and then they go ultimately to the Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl, something like that, I don't know if it's quite his time.
He's Sal Capaccio, Bills sideline reporter. Sal, I know it was a long night for you, so I appreciate you doing this. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks, buddy.
There you go. Sal Capaccio joining us on the show. We'll take a break. When we come on back, We'll evaluate one person in the NFL and one person in college football for this weekend. You're most interested to see how we're going to be talking about them once the weekend does conclude. It's time to ask the pros. You, the listener, gets to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INFSportsNet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I may ask a dumb question here, and if it is a dumb question, I apologize in advance. Who is this artist, Chris Persiainen? Do you have any idea who this artist is?
The singer is Claro.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
The song Sophia by Claro was like a big hit.
Oh, no. That sounded terrible.
Terrible?
Yeah, that sounded overmodulated. Like, you know, like when you drive in a car and you have the big bass and it's just like
just too much going on?
Yeah, it was too much bass there.
It was a little remix. The original song is at 953 million streams just on Spotify right now.
And when did it come out? Do you know? Does it give you that information?
Yeah, I want to say 2020.
Okay.
I'm wrong. 2019.
2019. Okay. And this is Claro?
Yeah, like Claire, but with a O instead of an E at the end.
Claro? Okay, let's see if I ever seen this person before.
I doubt it.
27? I have never seen this person before. I'm only 31. But Claro, I've never heard of. Let's see. Claro's net worth. Now, this isn't always accurate on social media.
They pull these out of a hat.
No. Can we be honest? My net worth, they say, is millions and millions of dollars. I wish. Well, one day my friend sent me something. He goes, yo, they say you make about $1 million to $5 million a year. I go, yeah, okay. I go, that's some fake news there on the internet. Claro's net worth, according to AI, very reliable source here, is not publicly available because it's a private company. Oh, that's, so they just did not understand that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Question here. Let's try this again. Claro musician net worth. Let's go. Let's see. Oh, she's her net worth, according to AI, is estimated to be around $3 million as of late 2024. So about $3 million for Claro. And now there's an article, Clara built a $5 million net worth. So good for her. You like her, Clara?
Yeah, her recent album was really good. Music's good. It's not exactly, what I played was more of like a rap producer did a remix.
Mm.
Her music is very much like calm.
Do you know who DJ Baby Benz is?
Barely, not really.
Okay, because according to Wikipedia, Clara is also known as DJ Baby Benz.
Oh, that, yeah, I've seen that on Twitter, and I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, I got no clue.
And now I still don't know, mm, but at least, not, okay, you know.
Go make $5 million in your lifetime doing this stuff, and you still got a lot of life to live. Who am I to criticize you? Lane Kiffin. We're no longer calling him the Lane Train. It is now the Lane Plane. Where is this guy's family going? Where is he going? Where is his agent going? And they need a big plane for that agent, let me tell you. His agent is a husky fella, Mr. Sexton. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, I don't think he sits on one of those little two or three seaters, if I'm just being honest. I think that is one big plane for the Lane Plane. Yeah, but man, this past, now, Percion, you texted this to me. I was on the elliptical this morning, and I'm getting fantasy football texts, and I'm getting Lane Kiffin texts. That's what my texting looked like this morning. So I'm trying to do my workout this morning on my hour elliptical ride that I do 5 or 6 days a week. And
only 5 or 6?
Not 5 or 6, just 5 or 6.
You
That's it.
You couldn't pump that up?
Nope. Now you're killing the joke. Nope, we're not killing the joke anymore. Let's not. I kill the joke, you don't kill the joke. I kill the joke, you don't kill the joke. But anyway, so Lane Kiffin, this plane, they were meeting in Gainesville, and he may not be there as representatives. Then maybe it was in Baton Rouge. What's going on here in the article that you sent me this morning here, Chris Percion? And it was like all over the place.
So what I texted you was I saw on Twitter, Graham Hall reported for Swamp 24/7
in the Swamp,
trusted source covering the Florida Gators.
Oh, definitely are.
Florida Athletic Department officials met Thursday night with representatives of Ole Miss head coach Lane Kiffin, and I would think this is a, you know, at the very least, a probing, a negotiating, a checking of temps.
Yeah, I would imagine. Like, what are you at this rate? What are you talking about? This is Lane. Is this happening or not? Florida needs some answers here. They fired their coach several weeks ago. LSU, they just officially terminated Brian Kelly today. Did you see this story, Stu? On Brian Kelly?
I did, yeah.
Wasn't he terminated like 3 weeks ago? No, he officially got his termination notice today at LSU. If I'm Lane Kiffin, and I get it, he loves to be a drama whore. He loves to be the center of attention. And I understand, like, 10 years ago, you would never say to yourself, oh, don't leave Ole Miss. Like, how could you pass up Florida? How could you pass up LSU? At this rate, dude, just stay at Ole Miss. Stay at Ole Miss. That's what I would do. But he's entitled to do whatever he wants. We'll see how this goes. But I'm just going to be transparent here. I'm Lane Kiffin out. I am tired of this story. We got a deadline that may or not be the case of the Egg Bowl, which is coming up next Friday, a week from today. The plane may be in Gainesville. The plane may be at LSU in Baton Rouge. His family's at Florida one day, Baton Rouge the next day. It's just getting to be too much. It really is. Stuart, are you at this point with this story where we have sat here and we've beat this horse for the last week or two about Lane Kiffin? I get it. Huge personality, really good football coach. You got two mega programs, LSU, Florida. You got Ole Miss probably going to the college football playoff. At this rate, dude, just make a damn decision. If you want to be the coach of Florida, you could be the coach of Florida tomorrow. If you want to be the coach of LSU, you could be the coach of LSU tomorrow. Or if you want to stay at Ole Miss, you could stay at Ole Miss, and they'd be happy to have you. But all this differentiating reporting, and I don't even know how much reporting it is. A lot of times it's just like all these fake tweets that you see on social media, and I don't even know what to decipher what's true or what's not anymore. Like, I see things that I think are true on Twitter, and then I'm sitting there, I go, is that really true? Like, there was one post of his daughter at, like, some meeting, and I go, I don't even know how you verify that or not in Louisiana. How the heck would you know if that's true or not? So I have no clue what to believe anymore. But I'm at the rate where I really have nothing else to add to this story. The Lane Plane, make a decision. Decide where you're going to land. Because to do this song and dance for another week, it's just, it's enough. Like, tap out. I'm good. Let me know. Are you tired of this story at this point, Stu, or are you enjoying all the chaos that's ensuing in college
football? I was going to say, I kind of like the chaos. I know it's a little annoying that he's, you know, here, then there, then here, then there. But
and it may not even be him.
It might not. No, it definitely may not be him. But
and Jimmy Sexton, that portly Jimmy Sexton on all those planes.
But I do think Lane's future is fascinating, and I know we want a decision soon, but I don't know. The longer it drags on, the more comical for me it is.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you that it's funny, but at some point it's like, all right, my jaw is hurting from laughing at the same joke over and over and over again. All righty, let's go around the room here. One NFL and one college football person that you're interested to see how we're going to be talking about them by the end of this weekend. I'm going to go with Joe Burrow. Now, I don't know if he's playing or not. The last 2 days it seemed like he was. I see the Ian Rappaport stuff. The pendulum is swinging in the direction now that Joe Flacco is going to play. But I still think even if Flacco plays, the fact that Burrow is inching closer and closer, and we knew last week that the 21-day window was activated, the fact that there's even a possibility that he was going to play this week and he's officially listed as questionable, to make the decision at some point tomorrow because they have to make the decision tomorrow. If he doesn't play this week and they lose, then I think that kind of closes the chapter on Joe Burrow returning this season. Because if they're going to fall to what would be, I think, 3-8. Yeah, 3-8 if they lose. Why would you then trot out your franchise quarterback if you're really out of it? Like, if you get this to 4-7 this week, I'm not saying that you go win every game the rest of the season. But at least you could look at it and say, hey, we could still go out there and win 10 games before the season does end. But if you lose this week, even if you do win out and Burrow comes back and you get to 9-8, that's not going to be enough to make the postseason. So my NFL pick, it's Joe Burrow. Whether he plays or not, I'm curious that we're talking about the future of Joe Burrow for this year the rest of the way. Stu?
All right, for my NFL person, I'm going to go with Daniel Jones. He looks like he's going to play. I know he had that kind of calf scare, if you will, yesterday or the other day, whenever that came out. But they do play the Chiefs this week. The Colts are 8-2. The Chiefs are 5-5. I know the Colts have had some really nice wins this season so far. They obviously beat the Broncos. They lost to the Rams. They beat the Chargers. Lost to the Steelers. So I'm just curious. I know the Chiefs, we want to kill the Chiefs, but the Chiefs are still alive, not dead yet. And I'm curious to see on the road at Arrowhead what Daniel Jones does.
KP, what do you got?
Can I take a coach?
Yeah, any person. Could be could be a front office executive, could be a portly agent, could be a player, whatever you want.
Yeah. Oh, man. You got to look at Shane Bowen, in my opinion, because I'm wondering one simple thing. Are we going to be talking about him as an employed NFL defensive coordinator after this week? And listen, everyone always says this is a tough part of the business. You don't want to root for people to be fired. But right now, this guy is on the verge. The seat, you can see the steam from a mile away. I bet Lane can see it up on the Lane plane. It's getting spicy.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. The Giants are 2-9. And Jackson Dart's not playing this week. Did you do a sound effect off your phone there for that?
No.
Oh.
No, that was an accident.
Oh, I thought when you were like talking about like, oh, the seat's on fire, I thought you played like a smoke alarm going off or something. So it actually did work well. Yeah, well, once you already fired the head coach, I don't care if the defensive coordinator stays there or not, even if you fall to 2-10. All righty, college football. The college football pick that I'm going with is Dante Moore. I don't think Oregon, if they lose one of these games and they're finishing with two losses at the end of the season, will have a strong enough resume to make the college football playoff. This is a huge test, considering the circumstance this year in a Big Ten that it's not having the best year. You have USC and Washington to end the season. I don't think Washington is that good. I think USC is a smudge overrated. You need to have a Dante Moore moment, especially for a guy that could go in the first round of this upcoming NFL draft. I got to see Dante Moore really just go off as Oregon does play USC to continue this one-loss season for the Ducks. Because if they get two, I think the committee will keep him out of the college football playoffs. Stu?
All right, college football here. I'm going to go Ahmad Hardy, the running back for Missouri. They are on the road against number 8 Oklahoma, and it looks like they're not going to have their typical quarterback in Bo Pabrula.
Well, actually, I think
it's questionable. He got upgraded from doubtful to questionable is the last that I saw.
Which makes me think he's going to play.
Maybe he's going to play now, yeah.
Because yesterday, it didn't sound like, well,
it's doubtful yesterday.
2 days ago, it was like, oh, he's going to play. It's looking that good. And then it gets a doubtful, And now it's seeing like he's going to play. But either way, he's not at 100%.
He's not 100%, so you want to feed your running back, Ahmad Hardy, 1,300 rushing yards on the season, the most in Division One. He also has 15 rushing touchdowns. So I'm curious to see, against an Oklahoma team that's really good defensively, what we're able to get from Hardy.
Yeah, especially even if he does play, he's going to be a rust, too. All right, Percy Arnum, what do you got, college football? Go ahead.
We got one side that has pretty much... You know, we know what their season is going to look like the rest of the regular season. We got another that's fighting for a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. I'm going with Jaden Maiava, and here's why. At home, 14 touchdowns, 2 picks. On the road, 4 touchdowns, 4 picks, and a 2-2 record on the road. So how are we going to talk about him after this week? The kid who can only do it at home, or is he going to take his show on the road this week, and is USC going to be really, you know, right on the verge of a playoff spot?
Yeah, and I know that they beat Nebraska a few weeks ago, but he didn't even play well in that game. And then you saw Raiola go down. So it'll be curious to see what he could do in Eugene going up against the Ducks. It's interesting because you're not wrong on Maiava, but I still look at like Lincoln Riley. That's the guy. Like, okay, you're gonna get to the playoffs, Lincoln? Or are you going to be stinking Lincoln when it matters the most? Ralph Russo going to join us on the other side. We will talk about all things college football with Ralph next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.